Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The whole world is in thy power, O Lord, King Almighty. There is no man that can gainsay thee, for thou hast made heaven and earth and all the wondrous things under the earth. Thou art the Lord of all. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Amen. Be with you. And let us pray. Lord, we beseech thee to keep thy household, the church, in continual godliness, that through thy protection it may be free from all adversaries and devoutly given to serve you in good works to the glory of thy name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading is the 9th and 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his man, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thus, this last commandment is not addressed to those whom the world considers scoundrels, but precisely to the most respectable, to those who look for approval as being decent and upright, and who have not offended against the earlier commandments. The Jews especially claim to belong to this class, a claim made by many of great nobles, lords, and princes also today. The ordinary masses belong farther down the scale under the seventh commandment. When they acquire possessions, they do not much bother to ask whether they are observing right or honorable means. The situation to which this commandment applies occurs most often in lawsuits by which someone who attempts to get or to squeeze something out of his neighbor. When people, for example, squabble and wrangle over a large inheritance, a piece of real estate, and so forth, they drag in and put to use any argument that has the slightest appearance of right, and they blow it up so much and deck it out so elaborately that the law tilts to their side and assigns them the property to a tilt so secure that it will stand firm beyond question or dispute. Again, if a man covets a castle, town, province, or other great estate, he applies so many bribes and pressures through friendships and other means that the property is taken from its owner and assigned to him. Letters, patent, and prince's seal attesting to the legality and uprightness of the transaction. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Hosea chapter 13. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So far, the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So far, the epistle. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4. And so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then Jesus said unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, please come down, otherwise my child will die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same time, the same hour, in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So far, the Holy Gospel. And we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn 396. Please be seated.
Oh,
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon is based upon the gospel reading, Positive Faith. Please be seated. There is a false understanding concerning faith, that salvation is offered as a cure-all for all of our problems. Now, granted, salvation through Christ solves the major problems, the alienation from God because of sin, and by God's grace, the sinner is accepted into the family of believers. Now, as a child of God, we learn to face problems. Some of them we solve, believing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But some Christians expect all the thorns to be removed when only the removal of the sting has been promised. You see, Jesus never taught that following him was a cure-all for every problem. But he did something better. He told us where we can take all of our problems, great and small. He predicted that we would run into trouble and that we would suffer much because we do follow him. You see, the real power that Christ offers is the power of a positive faith. This morning's gospel is a very familiar story. It's the story about the healing of the nobleman's son. When the nobleman heard that Jesus was in the area, he went to him with his problem. He was desperate. All human hope had been exhausted. And Jesus alone could help this boy. Now, although he believed that Jesus alone could help, yet there were some limitations to his faith. He didn't think that Jesus could help unless Jesus came down to Capernaum. And Jesus saw this limitation, and he sought to strengthen the nobleman's faith. But first, Jesus scolded him. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And then by refusing to go down to Capernaum, but accomplishing that miracle, he awakened even a stronger faith. Now, like all other miracles, this one too was aimed at producing and strengthening faith in Christ as the only Savior. And it accomplished its purpose. As the nobleman was on his way home, servants met him and announced the exact time that the boy's fever had left him. It was the exact time that Jesus had spoken to that father. And not only was a nobleman, but his whole household came to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you see, a positive faith does not stop with salvation and forgiveness. That's where it starts. The Christian who believes that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for the eternal life of his followers will also believe that all things work together to those who love God. Also, if God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he now with him give us all things? You see, these are not promises of men, but these are the promises of God, who alone has the power to fulfill all promises. The nobleman came to Jesus expecting help, and he received the promise and the assurance, go thy way. And the nobleman believed what Jesus Christ had said, and he went his way. That is the secret to a positive faith. It's not believing that, well, that's the way it goes. But a positive faith believes in the words of Jesus Christ. He's not just promising something or trying to test something. Believing isn't trying God when everything else has failed. The true believer is assured of God's promises. lives by them, never doubts the truth. And when trouble comes, we do not question God's wisdom in permitting it or his goodness in allowing it to happen. We cling to his promises. And by his grace, they will work out for good. If we would only take our word, if we would only take the word of our Lord seriously, and that is the highest level of positive faith, to believe the words of Christ even when there is no tangible evidence to prove that they're true, that's a positive faith. The things that cause us to fail are really inside of us, not outside of us. And sometimes there are circumstances beyond our control. We all know that. And usually these cannot be changed. But sometimes God permits these things as stepping stones to a greater faith. They are tests of faith to make us strong. We may even blame God for our troubles, but nothing is more foolish. It's doubt that makes us say, "I wonder," instead of, "I believe." For all these inner feelings, there is a relief, and there is Christ. He does not promise to evaporate all troubles and conflicts of life, but he does strengthen us to meet them face to face. He does promise that we shall not be overcome by them. And who of us? Who of us has never been riddled with doubts at one time or another? The disciples themselves doubted at times. As a matter of fact, they urged Jesus not to go up to Jerusalem for the last time to suffer and die. And it was only after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, when all of these doubts disappeared. And every day we need the Holy Spirit who works through word and sacrament. From him we receive the power of a positive faith. Through him we can say with St. Paul, "For I am persuaded that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I urge you to continue to use the word in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Use them as tools of the Holy Spirit to sustain that positive faith which looks only to Jesus Christ. Faith that believes all things will work for our good because we are God's children. A faith that provides a cure for doubt, despair, anxiety. It's available in Christ. And by his grace, we will have it every day of our life. May God grant this to each of us. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. Since our offering was received as you came in, we'll sing the first two stanzas of "We Give Thee But Thine Own." And let us pray for our communicants, but also take a moment for a private prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and rest unto their souls, we pray that you give us the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. Please rise for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth,
heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Hosanna,
Hosanna. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for all of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given into death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith, and a life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
that have had mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.